Today's shir is Masechta Ksubas Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Again, our Mishnah discusses a situation where a husband had relations with his wife, whom he assumed was a psula, and it turns out that she's not. And we have a debate between them what happened here. He emeris mukaseitzani. She says the reason you did not discover psulim is because I'm a mukaseitz. That caused that my psulim should be broken. Actually, what happened, he says to her, is that you had relations, and you had relations with a man before the Erisin, and before you had relations before the Erisin, that's why you're not a psula. So, and it's a mekach tos, because I assumed that I assume that you were, and you're actually not. Gamliel and Rebeleza hold that she is believed, and he can't make her lose her ksuba. We cannot accept what she says. She's assumed to be a woman who's not a psula. Until she could definitively prove that that is indeed the case. And the Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah is, because, and this opinion is, because HaMotzim Chaveroi Olav Haraya. If somebody has a claim, they have to be able to prove that claim. So if she wants to say that she's entitled to the entire Ksuba, then she should be able to prove it. If she can't, she can't make a financial claim. Ask the Gemara, Tanasa B'mai, exactly regarding what is this dispute? What is the financial effect of this dispute? Rabbi Yochanan Amar B'Masayim B'Mana. The dispute is over the Masayim B'Mana. That means she claims that she's entitled to Masayim. She claims that she's entitled to the full amount of the Ksuba. And he claims that she's only entitled to mana, she's only entitled to the 100 of the ksuba of a woman who's not a basula. Actually, that she's according to Belozo, she's only asking for a mana because she knows that she's not a psula. And he claims, as we said a moment ago, that it's a makich tos, and since it's a makich tos, she's not entitled to anything. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is what does she want, and what is he prepared to give? And according to Rabbi Yochanan, she's claiming that she gets Masayim because Mukatz Eitz, according to a mayor's opinion that we learned the other day, is that a Mukatz Eitz gets the full amount of the Ksuba. And the husband claims that she's not a Mukatz Eitz. The husband's saying, if she were indeed a Mukatz Eitz, then she Ksuba would be Masayim. But the husband's claiming that she's not a Mukatz Eitz. The husband's claiming that she's a Be'ula. And that's why she's only entitled to a mana. And actually, continue the Rishonim to explain that the machloikis that we're learning in this Gemara now is the same machloikis that would be the same machloikis regarding the Mishnah we discussed in our previous year, where a man discovers that his wife was not a psula, and the husband claims it was a mekach tos. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, even though he's claiming it was a mekach tos, because he's claiming you had relations before we ever got married, he's still willing to give her a mana. And according to Belozer, the husband's not prepared to give anything. But the woman is claiming that she gets the entire thing. So the question that the Ritva asks, that throughout Shas, we know there's a concept of a moedav amixis. A moedav amixis means that if you come and make a claim to me for $200, and I admit that I only owe you $100, then the halacha is the moedav amixis a taina. If I agree to partial taina, yeshava, I have to swear. So the question here is, this: the way Rabbi Yochanan is learning, he is a moedav amixis. Because she's claiming she wants 200, and he wants to give 100. So why is this not considered as the ritva moedav mixus? And the halacha is that a moedav mixus, in order to corroborate his claim, he has to make a shvuah, which in this case, the husband could never make the shvuah because the husband can never definitively know exactly what happened. So Ritva gives two terutzim. One terutz that Ritva says, that when is the rechiv shvuah by moedim and mixus is when I should have known what truly is the case. Therefore, the Torah says that if I don't know the facts, I have to swear, or if I don't know the facts, pay in full. Here, there's no way for me to know. In a case where there's no way for me to know, there's no din of moedim and mixus. Another terutz, he says, is that what is considered a moedim and mixus? When somebody approaches me and says, I owe him $200. And I could have said, I owe you nothing. But instead of saying, I owe you nothing, I say, I owe you 100. That's called a moedim and mixus. However, in a case where I have to pay the 100 no matter what, which according to Rabbi Yochanan, that is the circumstance of our Gemara, when I admit that I owe you the 100, that's not called a moedim and mixus. Says the Gemara, in going into Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan ben Masai ben Mana, the dispute is that he's willing to give 100 and she wants 200. Savla Krav Meir. He, as we said, holds like Krav Meir that we learned on Daf Yud Aleph. The Omer, when we speak about a Mukas Eitz, Bein Hikaba, Bein Lo Hikaba, whether he was aware that she's a Mukas Eitz, whether or not, she is the serving of a Ksuba of Masayim. And that's why she says, I deserve a Ksuba of Masayim. The husband says, no, it's not that you're missing the psulim because you're a Mukas Eitz. The husband says that you're missing the psulim because you had relations, and therefore you're a Ba'ula, and you're only entitled to 100. Rabbi Lezer Oim Rabbi Manavala Klum says, how do we understand Rabbi Lezer's opinion? He holds, like the Rabbanan in that sugya, Damri, that the Rabbanan hold, Bein Hikaba, Bein Lo Hikaba, whether he did or did not know that she was a Drusus, that she's a Mukas Eitz, Mana, she's only entitled to mana. So according to her, that she's a Mukas Eitz, she should get only a mana. The husband says that maybe you're a Ba'ula, and since you're a Ba'ula, it was a Mekach Tos, and you're not deserving anything. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Lazar Lakom Rabbi Yochanan, we could understand why Rabbi Lazar did not want to explain the Mishnah the way Rabbi Yochanan explains the Mishnah, the Kamukah like Rabbanan, because Rabbi Lazar wanted to explain our Mishnah in a way that it's consistent with the opinion of the Rabbanan. But ask the Gemara, Ella, Rabbi Yochanan, why Tamalai Abak Rabbi Lazar? Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan explain the Mishnah the way Rabbi Lazar explained the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Kesavar, because Rabbi Yochanan has an opinion. If you marry a woman with the assumption that she is a psula, the nimsus bula, and then it turns out to be a bula, yesh le ksuba mana. So there's no way to explain that the Mishnah is speaking about a case that she's getting a mana. Hocha, who come a mana? Vehi come a mana. Because if that would be the case, then they're both agreeing that she only deserves a mana. And therefore, what is the dispute, says Rabbi Yochanan, my ikka, bein tana de day, letana de da. Where is there any dispute? They're both agreeing that she only deserves a mana. It must be that Rabbi Yochanan therefore says, I have no choice but to explain the Mishnah following the opinion of Rameya, that holds that a Mukas Eitz gets a ksuba of Masayim. Once I'm able to explain that the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rameya that a Mukas Eitz gets a Ksuba Masayim, then we could understand their dispute, where she says, I get Masayim, and he says Mana. Continues the Gemara. Bishlam Rabbi Lazar, the coin of Rabbi Lazar, that says that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbanan, that if she was a Ba'ula, then she doesn't get anything. Hanedik Tani Tarti. Then we understand both Mishnais. The Mishnah that we learned in our previous year, where the dispute between the husband and wife is that she says, "Misherestani nanasti v'nestapchu sodeyu," that I was violated after I became an arusa, and our Mishnah that she claims Mukas Eitz, and we could understand both Mishnais. Why was there a need to teach us both Mishnais? Chada, Lafukim Rabbi Bachama. We learned the opinion of Rabbi Bachama on Daf Yud Aleph Beis that said that both according to Ramei and according to Rabbanon, if the husband was not aware that the wife was a Mukas Eitz, then the husband doesn't have to give her any ksuba. Our Mishnah clearly indicates not like that. Because in our Mishnah, she's saying that I'm a Mukas Eitz. And she's claiming a ksuba with the Mukas Eitz. But according to Rami Bachama, if the husband was not aware that she's a Mukas Eitz, then she's not entitled to any ksuba. If that's the halacha, so what is she accomplishing by making a claim that I'm Mukas Eitz? That claim wouldn't help her any, according to Rami Bachama, if the husband doesn't know that she was a Mukas Eitz. The Chada, and the Mishnah that discussed the case of the previous year, where she said Mishurastani na nasti, the purpose of teaching us that Mishnah is Lafukim Rechibar Avin Amar Avsheshis, that said, that he said, the Kansub Cheskas Pesula, the Nimtsabula, Yesh Leimana, and that's why the Mishnah had to teach us that no, he says that it happened after the Erisin, and that on the contrary, you became a Bula before the Erisin, and therefore it was a Mekach Tos, and if there was a Mekach Tos, Ein Le Klum. And wants to teach us, not like Rav Chiya bar Ovid Amar of Sheshis, who said that Chantzub Cheses Psula V'nimtzub Bula Yesh Leimana. The Mishnah wanted to teach us that we actually say that the halacha is that ain loy klum, that she's not deserving, that the halacha is that she, if he were correct, he would be able to claim that it's a mekach tos, and by claiming that it's a mekach tos, she's not entitled to anything. So we understand the need for both of these mishnayos. El Rabbi Yochanan, but ask Rabbi Yochanan, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is kantsa b'cheses psula, v'nimtzis b'ula, she gets a mana. The reason is because, so it turns out that the dispute between him and her in the previous Mishnah is also over Messiah Mamona, where she claims she's determined that she deserves a Messiah, and he claims she deserves a Mana. So if that's the case, in both Mishnayis, we're talking about a case where she says with a definitive explanation, either Mishrastani Nanasti or an Amishnah, Mukas Eitzani, I deserve a Meksuba of Messiah. And he and both Mishnayis say, no, if you're a Drusus Ish, you only deserve a Mana. If you're a Mukas Eitz, you only deserve a Mana. And similarly in that Mishnah, he's saying you only deserve a Mana. So why was there a need for two Mishnayis to teach us the same Machloikis? Answers the Gemara, Chada, one Mishnah was here, Lediach Kochet Gamliel, to show us how far Rabbi Gamliel believes her, how far the teacher's Rabbi Shua does not believe her. Kamaisa, the previous Mishnah, where she says Mishrastani Nanasti, is Lodiacha Kaichad Rabbi Shua, is here to show us how far we accept the opinion of Rabbi Shua. Davgav Dikla Meim Migui. In that Mishnah, she could have said Amukasaitz. And as we've said, and we're going to be discussing the Simit Hashem and Am Sechta quite extensively, there is always a claim, if you could have a claim of a migui, migui meaning that I could have said a better claim, so believe me with the claim that I said, that's a reason to believe her. By her saying, Mishrastani Nanasti, in our previous Mishnah, she's becoming permanently disqualified for marrying a Kohen. Because a Kohen can never marry a woman who was violated. So in that Mishnah, she could have said Mukas Eitz. But what she did say was, Mishrastani Nasti. Even though she has that Migui, Loi Mehemna. Still, Rabbi Shua doesn't believe her. Ubesraisa, and the Mishnah that we learned in our Shir, where she says Mukas Eitz, is here to teach us, says the Gemara, L'diach Kach D'Gamliel. Davgav D'lek L'meim Migui. There is no Migui, she said the best claim she could have said. And maybe the only reason we ought to believe her, suggests the Gemara, is because she has a Migui. But in a case where she doesn't have a Migui, maybe we shouldn't believe her. That's why Rigmulia says, I still believe her in this case as well. Again, we continue discussing a situation where there's a Machloikus or Gemulia Rabbi Shua, if we believe a woman with her claim. The Torah, when it speaks to a Kohen, who a kohen may marry or who a kohen may not marry. It says, Ish zayin v'chalolo leikachu, ki kadosh hu lelakov. The Torah limits who a kohen may marry. A woman who's in the category of a zayinah, a zayinah is a person who had relations with a person that she's not supposed to have relations with, a non-Jew, or somebody that's chayv krisis. Some say that even if it involves an isalav, and some say, and therefore, such a woman becomes usher to a kohen because she's considered a zayinah. Says the Mishnah, we have a single woman, Ra Medaberis. We saw this woman, Medaberis. We'll explain in the Gemara immediately what does Medaberis mean. But we see the single woman, Medaberis Emechad, with an individual. And we don't know the status of this individual. Is he kosher or posel? If he's posel, did she have relations with this man? And if she had relations with this man, she could never marry a kohen. Vamrlo, so they asked this woman, Ma Tivishlisa, who is this man? What is his halachic status? And she responds, Ish plani v'kohen hu, that he's a kohen, he's a Yisrael Meyuchas. And since he's a Yisrael Meyuchas, I could still marry a kohen. Ragamliel v'rabbeleza oimr namenes, we believe her, and she had a cheskes kashrus till now that she's allowed to marry a kohen. So she continues being allowed to marry a kohen. And again, the reasoning for a Gamliel and a Belezer is Bari Veshema. She's making a strong claim, and based on her claim, she's allowed to continue marrying a kohen. We accept the claim. But says the flop, that only time we consider the Bari is if her claim is not disputed. But let's say she says, I had relations with this man. And this man is a Jew with a fine yichus that having relations with him, she's a single woman, doesn't disqualify her from marrying a kohen. And this man says, it's not true. I never had relations with her. So then her claim, even according to Rabbi Gamliel, would not be accepted. Because the whole reason we're accepting a claim according to them is because she's making a claim of a bari. But now it's not a bari because the claim has been disputed. And that flaw goes on to say that not only is that the halacha that if this man says it's not true, her claim collapses. If he's here, the halacha is, we have to look for him and ask him, is what she's saying true? The Chasam Sofer says that, moreover, it's only if she says this that if before she is a kala with a kohen. But let's say this woman became a kala, became the bride of a kohen. And now this accusation comes up. And now she makes this claim, says the Chasam Sofer, that even according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar, she would not be believed. Because then we have to be concerned that she's only making this claim because she wants to be able to marry this kohen. And the Chasam Sofer says even a bigger chiddush l'chumra, that if this accusation against her only surfaces after she married the kohen, and in order to defend her marriage to the kohen and be able to protect the marriage to the kohen, she makes this counterclaim that I had relations with this man who's a kohen, who's a meyuchas, and therefore doesn't disqualify me from being married to the kohen. Says the Chasam Sofer, since she only made this point after she married the kohen, and she's doing it to be able to protect that she should be able to remain with her husband, the kohen, says the Chasam Sofer, we won't accept it. And even if she already married the kohen, she would have to leave him. That's a very bechumra. There are those that disagree with the Chasam Sofer. The Rasham disagrees with the Chasam Sofer. And the Rasham says that even though she's already now in a weaker position because she's only making this claim to protect what she did by marrying a kohen. Once she already married him, since we cannot definitively say that what she's saying is not true, we allow her to remain with her husband, the kohen. Rabbi Shua Aimer, Lema Pina Chaim, We can't accept what she says. We need to be concerned that she had relations with a man who will disqualify her from being able to marry Kayin. Unless she could corroborate definitively that she had, that she did not have, that the person she had relations with did not disqualify her from marrying a Kayin. So the Chafnei Yeshua makes the point. Why does Rabbi Shua say that we have to be concerned that she had relations with a Nasan or Mamzer? Why don't we say that she had relations with a non-Jew? There's so many more non-Jews in the world than Nasan and Mamzer. So it says the Pnei Yeshua that the reason Rabbi Shua picked to say that she had relations with a Nasan or Mamzer, because if she had relations with a non-Jew, it would disqualify her from marrying a Kohen. But it would not disqualify her, it would not disqualify a child. And as we're going to learn in our Gemara, there's not only discussion and this consideration here about her, but there's a concern about her child as well. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua picks the worst case scenario. What is the worst case scenario? That she had relations with the child. The Chasam Sofer says that the reason the Mishnah chose, or Yeshua chose, to say that we're concerned that she had relations with a Nasan or Mamzer, versus saying that she had relations with a non-Jew, is because he says, and we're going to have this concept of Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara as well, that a woman would prefer to have relations, a Jewish woman would prefer to have relations with a Jew, even though he's a disqualified Jew, over having relations with a Nachri. So Tosfos explains that when Rabbi Yeshua says in our Mishnah, Achatavi Raya Ledvarea, that doesn't mean that Rabbi Yeshua disputes the concept of Chazaka, and she has a Cheskas Kashrus. He explains the reason Rabbi Yeshua is Machman in our Mishnah is because, as we're going to learn in our Gemara, Mala also bid Yuchsin. When it comes to Hilchas Yichus, we have to be more concerned. And therefore, here we can't just rely on the Cheskas Kashrus. Rekiv Eger says a simpler pshat, that of course Rabbi Shua agrees normally we follow the Cheskas Kashrus. But here, the Cheskas Kashrus has been weakened, because we know for sure that she was medaberis. We know something inappropriate happened. Once something like that happened, it breaks the Cheskas Kashrus. Continues the Mishnah. Haysim Uberis. We see a single woman who's pregnant, and we don't know who is the father. Vamalai Mati Vishalibazu. And we ask her, what is the status of this child? And she says, Me'ish Ploini V'kainhu, that the father is this man who is a perfect Yichas. We can't trust her. We have to assume that she had relations with Nasa Mamzer, unless she could definitively prove that that is not the case. So our Gemara discusses a case where if the woman had relations with a person that she wasn't supposed to have, so the halacha is that she can marry a kohen. The question is that what is the halacha if we saw a woman, a single woman, have relations with a man? What is her halacha regarding being allowed to marry a kohen? So the Marshag, in the Shalos Tshuvos Marshag, Chela Gimel Samach Samach Hei, says that if a woman had he discusses the following shaila. He says there was a woman who had relations with a non-Jew, had a son. The son is not in the picture. She gave him away or whatever. And now she got married, and her husband assumed that she is a basula. She did not disclose to her husband any of her history. And now we know the history. Should we tell the husband, or should we not tell the husband? Says the Marshag, if we're going to tell the husband about this woman's history, it will bother him, it will ruin the Shalom Bayis. Says the Marshag, we're not obligated to tell him. And so too, it seems, is the opinion of the Shas Tshuvas de Rechayim, Chelek Aleph Rechayim Simach Lamer Hei. He says that by telling her, we could have much problem, and we shouldn't tell him. But then he goes on to discuss, well, what happens if this new couple have a baby boy? And because the husband is not aware what happened, he's going to make a pinyan aben. He thinks that this is a bechor. But this boy, this baby boy that was born, is not really a bechor. Because his mother, it's bechor means paterechem, the first child born to a mother, his mother. This child is really not the first child. Just the father thinks that he's the first child. So, says the Devar Chaim, we should try to figure out a way that the kohen should know, and he should maybe return the money, but again, try to avoid any embarrassment. And so too is the opinion of the Shaul Shuvis Rap Harlem, and the opinion of the Debrezina Rov was the same. He takes the opinion that to avoid the embarrassment to the husband, the embarrassment to the wife, the questions that will come up, it's worth avoiding all these problems. So too is the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Shaul Shuvis Micha Shlomo Tinyono Simon Kuf Lamed. Whereas the Shas Tshuvas Ein Yitzchak from Yitzchak Chanan Zatzal Chelik Aleph Evan Ezer Simon Samach Zayin. In this case, he says that we have to tell the husband. He says that not telling the husband is the wrong thing. And not only that, he claims that this is a situation of Hashavas Aveda. The husband assumes, and the husband's going to give, if they get divorced, a ksuba of Messiah, which she's not entitled to. And therefore, the truth must prevail, says Dan Yitzchak, and we have to tell the husband, even though the repercussions could be quite serious. So our Mishnah began with the case Ruah Medaberes. And as we pointed out, the Gemara immediately asks, what is the definition, my Medaberes? What did the Mishnah mean with the word Medaberes? Zira Manistra. Ziri says it means that she was left secluded with this man. And Ravasi Omanivala. Ravasi says that we actually know that they had relations. So ask the Gemara. Bishlam Ziri, Hanatari Medaberes. We could understand why the Mishnah used the word Medaberes. Medaberes, because we don't know for certain that they had relations. But ask the Gemara, Eller of Ashti, according to Ravasi, my Medaberes, what does the Mishnah mean with the word Medaberes? Answers the Gemara, Lishtam Alya. Even though it means having relations, the Mishnah wanted to use a refined type of wording. And we find that the Pasuk uses that type of wording also when it describes a woman having relations. The Pasuk says, Ochla umachsa piya, v'amrila palti oven. So Ochla doesn't mean eating. Ochla means that she had relations. But again, the Pasuk wants to use a wording that isn't so blatant. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Ziri, according to Ziri, that Medaberes means Nistra, Hani Netani Tarti. We could understand why the Mishnah speaks about two separate cases. The Reisha spoke about a case of Medaberes, where all we know was that they were secluded. And the Sefer is talking about Muberes, where obviously they had relations, otherwise how could she be pregnant? Eller of Asi, that even in the Reisha, we know that she had relations. Tarte Lamali. Why do we have to have both cases? In both cases, she had relations, and now we need to make some determinations. Answers the Gemara, the reason, according to Rav Asi, we had two cases, even though they both reflect cases where she actually had relations, because one is Chad L'Hachshaba, one is speaking about her status, the Chad L'Hachshar Bebita, one is to discuss the status of the child that's born. Says the Gemara, Hanich Lamandama, the Devar Machshaba, Machshaba Bita, the coin of Gamliel, that in this case we trust her, and not only do we trust her regarding herself, we trust her regarding her daughter as well. So now we understand the Mishnah and Rav Asi, what he's trying to teach us. That the Mishnah is trying to teach us, then when this woman makes this claim, not only does she remain permitted to marry a Kohen, But we also continue accepting her claim and the claim that the child's yichus is fine. Elamand Amr, according to Manda Amr, that holds a divrei machshava, paisel abita, that even though she's fine, but her a daughter who doesn't come with a cheskes kashrus, so like she had, as we explained, she isn't fine. So what's the point in the Mishnah telling us the same case? Says the Gemara of Asi, Sovik Manda Amr, says the Gemara of Asi has to indeed follow the opinion that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Amud Beis, Ledivrei HaMach Shebo, Mach Shevavita, that indeed her status and her daughter's status are fine. The question is that why indeed would somebody hold Ledivrei HaMach Shebo, Mach Shevavita? She has a Cheskes Kashrus, but how does her Cheskes Kashrus help her daughter? So the simple pshat is that the cheskes ha'aim is the daughter comes from the mother. And since the daughter comes from the mother, whatever is the halacha on the mother automatically goes to the daughter as well. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says a different pshat. He says, why are we believing her? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that because she's a bari. She's making a definitive claim. And a very big concept that we've been learning in our sugyas, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, is the power of a bari. The Gamliel gives very strong belief to a claim that's made definitively. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger that the power of a bari, according to the Manda Amar, L'divrei HaMach Shebo, Mach Shebebita, is so strong that not only does it help her, but the power of a bari is so strong that it helps the daughter as well. Amalei Papa Abaya, Lazira de Amra, according to Ziri that explains that what is the definition of Medaberis in our Mishnah, the Nistra, that she was alone with this man, Amri, and Rabbi Shua says, Loi Mahemna. But ask the Gemara, even if she only was secluded with this man, why is Rabbi Shua saying that we assume that she had relations? But ask the Gemara, Hamar Rav, Malkana Yichud. If an Eishes Ish is left secluded with a man, she gets Malkus for doing that. But we don't immediately say that certainly something wrong happened. So ask the Gemara, why in our Mishnah, according to Zairi, that the explanation of the word medaberis means that she was alone with this man, why for just being alone with a man would we be so quick to disqualify her? Should we say that the man the Amr that says Ein Yisrael Yichud is the like Rabbi Shua? Says the Gemara, I feel ten Rabbi Shua. Even Rabbi Shua, who isn't so quick to disqualify a woman for being alone with a man, Mala Asu B'Yichsin. When it comes to Hilchas Yichus, that means when it comes to a question of being allowed to marry a Kayin, we have to be stricter and not allow her to marry a Kayin. We have to be stricter, not allow her to marry a Kayin. And we have a Machlokes Rishonim. What does it mean here? So the Ravid says that here we're speaking about a woman who is a Pnuya. She's, as we said, she's a single woman. So since she's single and we saw her have Yichud with this man, says Rabbi Yeshua, such a woman should not be allowed to marry a Kayin. But Rabbi Yeshua would agree that if she was already married to a Kayin and she had Yichud with a man, that the halach is that we wouldn't make them divorce. The Ritva says that even if she wasn't married to a Kayin, but she had Yichud with a man that she shouldn't have had, says the Ritva, she shouldn't marry a Kohen. But if she married a Kohen, we don't make them get divorced. Moreover, says the Rashba, that this entire discussion that the Gemara just said, a mal osu b'yuchsin, is only as far as somebody being allowed to marry a Kohen. Because as we said, and we'll continue saying, the Torah was very particular about whom a Kohen may marry. But if we're talking about being married to Yisrael, where we don't find the Torah being so particular, we wouldn't have any of these rules. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Rav Asi said that the Mishnah is speaking specifically about a case where she had be with this man. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, we see a single woman, Ruah Nichnasam Echadlam Seisar, that went into a secluded place with an individual. Oil Churba, again, a place where people usually aren't there, and that's where many times Zoinus frequent. Vamalei Mativish Lezu, and we ask this woman, who is this man? And she responds, Kainhu ben Achi Abahu. He was a Kain, he was the son of my uncle. We have to be concerned that she had relations with the Nasa and Mamzer until she could corroborate her claim. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Ziri, according to Ziri, Rabbi Yeshua says that even with Yichr alone, where we don't know for sure that there was Bia, Rabbi Yeshua is still strict. Hani Tani Tarti, that's what we speak about, L'seisa ul'churba. Seisa means there was yichud, and churba means more than that, because as we said, churba means that that's where the Zionists were, and that means that there was bia. And that's why both cases, that's why we're teaching both cases. El Rav Zeir Rasi the Omer. The Rav Rasi says that the definition of medaberis means nivala. So the question is, tarti lamali. So in both cases, she had bia. So why does the Braisa have to speak about Seisa Ukhorba? Answers the Gemara. Indeed, he's going to explain that the Braisa Chodek Tani is only speaking about one case. She went into a place which is secluded, which is a Khorba. But ask the Gemara, how could you say that that's the Pshat in the Braisa? For her Oila Seisa Ukhorbek Tana, clearly indicating that the Braisa is speaking about two separate cases. Answers the Gemara, Chodel Khorba de Masa. One is speaking about a case where she went into the churba of the city, and one is where the churba is outside of the city, the tzricha. And the Braisa had to teach us both halachas. The Ashmin churba de Masa, if we only spoke about a churba de Masa, that's where Gamaliel is lenient. Most people in the churba in the city are people from the city. And we're referring here, says Gamaliel, in the Braisa, to a city which is mostly inhabited by Yisraelim, who are allowed to marry Kayin, and therefore we could assume that the one she had relation with is a Kayin. Avul Chuba de Dabra, when we're outside of the city, the Roy Psulim Atzlai, people outside of the city are not necessarily Jewish. Ema, in such a case, maybe Moedele Rabbi Yeshua, that we have to be concerned, certainly, that she had relations with a non-Jew, and therefore now she may not marry a Kohen. V'yashmi Rehi, if we only had the case of a Churba that's outside of the city, but he come Rabbi Yeshua, that's where Rabbi Yeshua is strict. Ava Baha, when she had relations in the city, where, as we said, most people in the city are kosher, Yisraelim Ksheirim, Avboho, Eime Moidele Gamliel. That's why Tzricha, we had to have both cases. So, why, says the Gemara, will we think Rabbi Yeshua would agree? Why would Gamliel agree? So Rashi explains, because we only accept a Cheskes Kashrus when there's a strong corroboration to the Cheskes Kashrus. And therefore we would say that Gamaliel only accepts the Cheskes Kashrus when it was in the city. Another pshat that the Rishonim say is that a woman, normally, we said this earlier, is careful with whom she is mezana. And therefore, since she's careful with whom she is mezana, in the city she's careful that she be with a Yisrael. Meisvei asked the Gemara. The Braisa says, Hoysum Uberis, the woman was pregnant, Va'amar, and they asked her, what is the status of this child? And she says that the child is the son of a Kohen, Regamliel, Oimrim, Zu Eidish Ishik Sherila. We trust what she says. Rabshua Aima, and in the menace, we don't accept what she says. Omalem Rabshua, so Rabshua says to Regamliel, Yat the Moida, don't you agree? Rabshua Ishanishbis, there was a woman who was kidnapped by Nochrim. And there are Edom that she was kidnapped. So it's not that we need her. It's not that she's telling this. And she says that even though I was kidnapped amongst the Nachrim, I remained Tahira. I never had relations with them. Shein in the menace. And she's not trusted. Amaloi, and Gamaliel and Rebelezer respond to Rishua, Emes. Yes, in that case we agree that the woman will become also to marry a Kohen. So now Rishua asks them, why in the case of a Shvuya are you agreeable that the woman will become also to a Kohen? And why over here are you not agreeable? So they respond, Lazu Yesh Edim. In the case of a Shvuya, there are Edim that she was kidnapped. And we know that if somebody is kidnapped amongst the Nachrim, the assumption is, more than assumption, the accepted halacha is that she had relations. Lazu ain't Edim. In our case, there are no Edim that she had relations with a person. Amalhem, af lazu. But in the case where she's pregnant, yesh Edim. There's certainly Edim that she had relations because she's pregnant. Shrei Kresa bin Chanel, and she certainly cannot be pregnant if she didn't have relations. Amaloi, so Gamaliel and Rebelezer respond, Roiv Avdekham Prutzim Royus. When she was kidnapped amongst Goyim, she certainly had relations because that's all we have to assume Nochrim do. Amalhem, Ena Petrobus La Rayus. And since there, when a person is put into a difficult place, we have to assume that she had relations. But Madvar Mamurim continues the Braisa. Where do we have this machloikus? Beidus Isha Begufa. That the woman says that Lakoshin of Alti, and the question is, do we believe her or not? Aval Eidus Isha Bebita. But when we're speaking about the daughter, says the Gemara, Divri Hakol Shtuki. The child is going to be Shtuki, which, as we're going to learn, his or her status is unclear. Says the Gemara, let's understand this dialogue between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. My kamalhu, ma hadrilhu. What did he mean to say, Beroiv of the Chavim, Prutzim Berayis? What does that have to do with the case of Muberis? Says the Gemara, Hach kamalhu. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say to Rabbi Yeshua, Hishiftani al Muberis. We gave a good answer by a woman who's pregnant. A woman who's pregnant, indeed, is comparable to a shvuya. Just like by a shvuya, we're saying she's usher because we accept with certainty that she had relations with an akum. Here too, when she's pregnant, we know for sure she had relations. Otherwise, she obviously could not have become pregnant. And we have to assume that she had relations with somebody who's posel, because most people are posel, because most of the world are non-Jews. But Mata Shiven Alam Adaberis. What are you going to tell me in a case, says the Gemara to Bishua, well, we don't know for certain that she had relations. Amala, so Bishua says, Medaberis Haini Shvuya, that a Medaberis is considered like a Shvuya. Just like by a Shvuya, we don't know 100% with certainty that she had relations. The only thing we know is that she was alone with these Nachrim, and we know that the Nachrim typically are people who have that do this. So too, Medaberis, we have to make that assumption. Amaloi, so Gamaliel and Rebelezer say to Yeshua, Shani Shvuya, the Rav Gav to Chavim, Prutzim Barayasem. When there was a situation of a Nachri, and therefore we have to be more stricter. Amaloi, Hanami, this woman, Kivin the Stater, we see she acted inappropriately because she was alone with a man, Ein Apotropos L'Arayis, and we have to assume that she had Bia. But what do we see here? Tani Mias Tarti. We spoke about a case of Muberes, which is a case that everybody understood is a case where she certainly had relations. Muberes, she's pregnant. And we spoke about a case of Medaberes. Clearly, Medaberis means that we don't know with certainty that she had Bia. So according to Ze'iri, that explained that the word Medaberis in our Mishnah means that they were alone, very good. But according to Rabbi Asi, the Medaberis means that we know for certainty she had relations. What is Medaberis and Medaberis? Says the Gemara, Tayufta Rav Asi Tayufta. Indeed, Rav Asi's explanation in our Mishnah of Medaberis, meaning that she had relations, is certainly refuted. So now the Gemara goes back to this machloikus of Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar versus Rav Yeshua. But typically, the Hassam, in the case of a Shvuya, Roy Psumetzla, she was a Shvuya, she was kidnapped by Nachrim. And since she was kidnapped by Nachrim, she had Bia with a man who will disqualify her from a Kayin. Hachop, our case, Roy Kshematzla, who says that she had relations with a Nachri. Besailer Rabbi Shuba Levi, Darim Shuba Levi, Divrei HaMachsher, according to Rabbi Gamliel, who's lenient, Machsha Filib Roy Psulim. The fact that most people are puzzled doesn't make a difference. Well, Divrei HaPosel, and the one that holds Rabbi Shua, who's Machmer, he's Machmer, Afilu B'Roiv Tshem Atzloi. Amr Rabbi Eichron, the Divrei HaMachsher Ba, according to Gamliel, who says that we trust her, not only do we trust her regarding herself, but Machsher B'Bita. And the Divrei HaPosel Ba, and the one that Rabbi Shua, who's Machmer and doesn't trust her, Posel B'Bita. Not only is she disqualified, but her daughter is as well. Rabbi Lazar Eimer, L'divrei ha-machshaba, even the one that's lenient, Rav Gamliel, who's lenient regarding herself, we accept her claim, Paisa Babita, we would not accept a claim regarding the daughter. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, my time there, Belazar, why do we differentiate between the mother and the child? Bishlami, so the Gemara explains, Isla, she has a cheskes kashrus. So until we could definitively break that cheskes kashrus, we are lenient. But the daughter, who was born from the spia, and we were never able to establish for the daughter a cheskes kashrus, less the cheskes the kashrus, and that's why we have to be machmer. Eisrei Rav Elazar Rav Yochanan. We learned in the Braisa, b'medvar mamurim, the way that we have the machlokes of Yeshua and Gamliel, beidus ishi v'gufa, regarding the woman herself, aval eidus ishi v'bita, when we speak about the child, divrei hakol shtuki, everybody will agree that the child is a shtuki, of questionable yichus. My love, didn't it mean, when the Braisa said that, shtuki apostle, that the child is disqualified. So how could you suggest, asked the Gemara, that the child is not disqualified? Says the Gemara, loy. What the Braisa meant to say was, shtuki, he's a shtuki, we don't know exactly who the father is, but he's kosher. Asked the Gemara, isn't that an oxymoron? Or me ikki shtuki v'kosher? Could somebody be labeled a shtuki and still be considered kosher? Says the Gemara in k'deshmul. Dama shmul asar kahanim oimdim. If you have 10 kahanim or pirish echem and mabal, and one of them had relations with a single woman, the halacha is havlat shtuki. So we know that the child is a kayin, but we don't know who is his father. My shtuki, that he doesn't get a share in the inheritance of any of these men, pshita, that doesn't need to be said. We don't know who his father is. And since we don't know who his father is, he certainly can't make a claim for the Yerusha. We don't allow him to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ksiv, because the Pasuk, when it speaks about the Kohanim, says, V'hoysa loyu l'zara achrov bris kunas olam. Misha zara miyuchas achrov. Only somebody who could definitively know who his father is able to do the avoida. Yatzuzusha ein zara miyuchas achrov. So he's a kosher. There's nothing wrong with him, but he's still a shtuki to the degree that we may not allow him to do the avoida. So the Gemara is saying, here, the fact that the Braisa said the word shtuki does not mean that there's a psul in the yichas. And that's why the halach kabir, that not only Rav Gamliel lenient regarding the mother, Rav Gamliel will be lenient that even the child will be considered kosher.